Oh man, the power. Power. Matthew chapter 2, of course, is part of the story of the Nativity. We're getting there. I was in conversation with somebody the other day, and we were talking about this remarkable fact. Do you know that in 2 months from now, the days are going to be getting longer? Woo-hoo-hoo! Actually, the days stay the same. It's the daylight that gets from hunger. So I'm looking forward to that. We only have 2 more months to go, and we're on the upswing again. But Christmas will be soon upon us. And so the scripture, Matthew chapter 2. Can we get there, Mandy? Mandy Q. Okay, here it goes. Now here we have the wise men, so-called. They've just come to minister to Jesus. They've seen the star. They've come and they've brought their gifts. But the scripture says in verse 13 of chapter 2, "Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt did I call my son.'" We go down a little bit further. We find that Joseph and Mary take Jesus. They go to Egypt for a while. And then they come back and they find that, verse 19, "When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Egypt, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel." For many years, one of the greatest challenges of my life, as I've been involved in ministering to the church, one of the greatest challenges has been for me to catch the winds of God. I heard someone use the illustration one time of how hearing God is rather like playing in a football team. And when football teams play, they have their stands filled with cheering crowds, and there's a huddle down on the field. There's so much racket, and the guys on the team pull in closely together, and they're trying to hear what the quarterback says. It's important to hear what the quarterback says in a football game. Otherwise, you get up and you run the wrong play, and you got egg all over you, and that's a bad thing. And so you want to hear what the quarterback calls, but there's so much racket that you have to give your full attention to hearing what the quarterback is calling. And so my experience in the kingdom of God and being involved in ministry has been that to me the issue of hearing God has been a critical factor. And so that has birthed within me a high regard for ministry and for people that are involved in ministry. Now, for Linda and myself, we've always believed that how we lived and what we said was very important because of the whatever measure of influence that we would have in the church and in the community. And so we want to say the things and that the Lord would have us to speak and speak the things that the Spirit of God would prompt us to speak, so that the effect that we would have on people's lives and people's homes and people's families and even the community would be that which would be born of the Holy Spirit. To this day, in fact, I increasingly tremble at a call to speak, to preach to a congregation, because there are some people that listen to you, some people that, you know, there are people that watch you and they're listening to see what you say and how you handle the situation, how you handle yourself, and it can affect people's lives. It affects their homes. It can affect all kinds of things. The effects are very far reaching. And so for myself, because of the weight of responsibility in that, I've wrestled often. In fact, as a matter of course, probably the most challenging thing for me in just about 50 years of ministry has been trying to discern what the Lord would have me to say or the direction that God would have me to move, or the leadership that God would have given for me to follow after. Not long after we arrived here in Swan River, one of the brothers in the church, we were talking together, in fact, we were working together, in fact, and this brother, what shall I call him? Let's come up with a name. Let's say, how about Tom? That's a good name. This brother said to me, oh man, you got this decision to be made, but that should be no sweat. You know how to hear from God. And those words, I'd never heard that before. Now you would say, that is amazing, Ray. You've been a believer for 10 or 20, 30 years, and you've not gone around saying, well, God said to me. I heard one time, someone said, I would be scared to have a pastor who says, God told me. But then someone else said, I would be scared to have a pastor that didn't say, God told me. That is to say, this whole exercise of hearing God and being led of the Spirit is of critical importance to us, not only in our own personal lives, but in the functioning of the body of Christ. I was shocked at that statement. To my knowledge, I'd not have had anybody say that to me before. And you would think maybe today that's pretty strange. Now, whether that was because of my family environment, my upbringing, the religious box in which I grew up, I don't know. Maybe my inability to hear God. I don't know how that all happened. But that was a new expression to me, and it challenged me, and it challenged me in my walk with God. Now, having said that, I of course was familiar with Romans chapter 8 verse 14. Do we have that, Mandy? In Romans 8 chapter 8 verse 14, the scripture said, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." I was familiar with that, and we would have in the past frequently alluded to that. To that scripture and to that precept of being led by the Holy Spirit, of having a sense on the inside of us when the time would come for some direction or to make a decision about things great or small, I was familiar with that, and we for Linda and myself, we had experience. We had known how that works. We'd seen that God lead us and work in our lives in those, according to scriptures like this. But this all in this time in my life tied into a sense of awe at the ability of a man to be led by the Holy Spirit, to hear the voice of God. Now that ties in, of course, with the growth or the impartation of a prophetic ministry, and some of us have been around prophetic ministries enough to know that one word from God spoken prophetically can change your whole life, absolutely impact you. I read the story of a story from the life of Sean Bolts the other day. Sean, whose name is familiar to some of you. A prophetic brother who's just amazing, just the gifting in his life. And he tells how it was actually in Canada. He said he was ministering at a gathering one day, some sort of a service. And it so happened that he had ministered evidently to a lady who had gone home, and she was just absolutely aglow with the things that God had revealed to him that he had spoken to her. And so she went home, and she's telling her family, and she's telling her friends, oh my, like God spoke to me. I mean, just God just opened the book, he read my mail, yada, yada, yada. And so she goes home, her son hears this, and he's not quite as impressed with all this. In fact, he's very skeptical. And so he in his head, he's thinking, there's an American charlatan loose. And he's playing a game. He's playing on people's emotional sensitivity and their gullibility in order to get money. in order to get influence. And so he's really alarmed for his mother. And so he decides he's going to go to the meeting that night to sit with her and to see what's happening, just to safeguard his mother, to keep her from this quack that he figured was quacking around the scene. So he's in the meeting, but in the meeting, our brother Bowles, he happens to pick this gentleman out of the crowd, and he says to him, "Does the name such and such mean anything to you?" "Well, yeah, that's my wife." "Well, how about these names?" And he lists three or four names. "Well, those are all the names of my kids." "Well, how about this?" And I forgot. I think it was he started rehearsing the fellows, whether it was his phone number or social insurance number. I'm not sure what it was. And the guy just very matter of fact, what the guy is thinking is, well, this guy is smooth. He's probably got somebody, and you perhaps know the stories. Some prophetic people, they have a little gizmo in their ear, and they have a spy in the back of the room, and the guy speaks and he speaks into his ear, right, and some earbud, and so he knows all this information. Quack 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 quack, right? And so this fella is thinking, this guy is smooth, but I am not going to be moved. I shall not be moved, the song says. And so that was setting the stage. And all of a sudden, Brother Bowles, the Lord speaks another word to him. The word went like this: "This brother is not hearing you. He is not believing you. He figures that you know that you're using, you're playing a game." And so he thinks for a second, and a name comes to him. And I think, I wish I could remember, this is a little bit, I didn't quite intend to go here. He says to him, "Do you have a dog named," I've forgotten what it wasn't Trigger, but that we'll use Trigger, it wasn't Trigger. And the man absolutely collapsed in tears. What happened is that the family had just recently, like in the last week, lost their dog. And the family was just absolutely devastated because they'd lost their dog. And so this brother had gone out and he had just gotten himself a dog yesterday. He had told no one about it. Nobody knew about it except maybe one person. And so all of a sudden, when this dog's name was called out, this brother realized that God was speaking, that God was in the house. Affected his life, absolutely affected the whole congregation. I like stories like that. Linda was telling me the other day about a lady that she's connected with online, and the lady just ministers powerfully in the Spirit. And the lady says, or did you go online and you were checking about this lady, yada, yada. And this, what am I talking about? Oh, we just had a conversation yesterday. And this, she goes online and she finds out that this gal has some critics. And the critics are saying, "Oh man, this girl, she has the audacity to say that God speaks, that God talks. God doesn't do that anymore." And on and on and on. So this is, you understand, for some people, this is news. They can hardly believe that God would speak. But here in Matthew chapter 2, the scripture says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying," an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the child." In verse 18, "An angel appeared to the Lord, to Joseph, in a dream, saying, arise and take the child." I share this with you this morning, beloved, to hopefully encourage you to light a little bit of fire under yourself and under myself, to believe that even in all the in all the events of life and all the moments of life, that God wants to speak to us. And sometimes, beloved, it's life or death. Sometimes, and I believe it's going to be even in our lives and in our world, increasingly important for us to have the ability and the mindset and the heart that we want to hear what God says, not only for ourselves and not only for our family, but to be able to minister to other people. Those of you who have had prophetic ministry know that many times a word will come to you that absolutely nobody knows. It reveals the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Absolutely communicates that God knows, God sees, and God cares. And that God's intent is for you and for good. And so the more we can do that for our own selves, and then beyond that, for those of you, those of us who have prophetic giftings, that we would use them, that we would employ them, because they can be open up amazing doors of ministry to people's lives, where people's lives will be greatly affected and absolutely changed in a moment of time. This brother about the dog, I wish I could remember the dog's name. It's such a good name. Trigger, that's my old horse. That doesn't quite fit as good to a dog, but it opened up this man's life absolutely to what God wanted to say and God wanted to do. In Genesis chapter 22, Scripture says, "Now after came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, God said to him, Abraham, God spoke, God said, Abraham." Then he went on. He said, Abraham said, "Here I am." He said, "Now take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. Now for myself, such conversations, and they occur all the way throughout both the Old Testament and New Testament. Those conversations were amazing. I used to say to myself, how in the world did God say that? How did Noah know he was supposed to build the boat, and these are the man, I've not had God say to that to me about the boat. Whoa. Now maybe it was, again, my upbringing, maybe our tradition, maybe my amazing personality type. I don't know, but I've not heard all that from God myself. Now that's not to say that God hasn't led us or moved us or guided our steps. I remember back a number of years ago, to 1976 actually. 1976, Linda and I were in southern Saskatchewan. We pastored a church there in a small town. We'd been there close to 5 years, and we just had probably stronger for myself than Linda, but a strong sense that the time was coming for us, that God was going to engineer a move. And I began earnestly to seek God what our next step was going to be. Whether it was to the left or the right, I didn't know. I didn't know. So what happened is we decided that we would take our summer vacation, which we did. We drove up to see Linda's family in northern Alberta. And we come back, and I thought, man, I'd feel better, but I didn't feel any better. I felt absolutely unsettled, and I felt God was moving us. And so we had a whole bunch of things happen to us, and we're just looking to the Lord. But one day we got a letter in the mail inviting us to consider going to Flin Flon, Manitoba, which when you're in southern Saskatchewan, Flin Flon is a long ways away. And so we got this letter asking us to go there, and the gist of the letter was that there was a small group of people there that had come together, and they wanted to start a church. And so we began to pray. We again called on God earnestly, and tried to work through that, wondering what to do. In the process of that, well, what happened eventually was that we took a drive up to Flin Flon. That was the first time we'd ever driven through Swan River, Manitoba. I still remember driving down Main Street. I remember some of the shops. I remember Gisela's dress shop. I just thought that was amazing. how I remember that 50 years or whatever ago, whatever. But when we got to Flin Flon, these two things actually, I should try to share them simultaneously, but I can't because they're rather divergent. But we got to Flin Flon, and for those of you who know the city of Flin Flon, when you get to Flin Flon, you can do one of two things. You can take a left-hand turn road and go right into the heart of the city, or you can continue on a perimeter track around road around the north side of the city, which we elected to do. I think we had some direction. We were driving around the perimeter, hadn't met anybody, hadn't talked to anybody, hadn't laid our eyes on anything except this perimeter highway. But as we were driving on that highway, the Lord quickened to me, this is the place, this is the place. I knew that I knew that I knew. We hadn't even met anybody yet. But the Lord spoke that into my heart. How, I don't even understand. But we just knew it was God. Now, together with that, and I can't remember if this was before or after, but I was reading in the scriptures one day, and I found myself reading in my devotional time. I found myself reading in Romans chapter 15. Do you have that, Mandy? Romans chapter 15. And I found myself reading this. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. And as I read those scriptures, they absolutely just leapt off the page in me. The truth was, we were being asked to go to Flin Flon to pioneer a church that was from the ground up, that had no other man's foundation. Now, I couldn't have put that together. I couldn't have engineered that scripture would come and be in the course of my reading. But it was God speaking to me. This is my plan. This is my purpose to you. And as we followed that, and as we experienced the witness of God speaking to us in our heart as we drove around the city that day, we absolutely knew that was God's plan and God's purpose for us. And to this day, that affects us because we went there, we ended up here. It was part of God's puzzle and part of the way God led us and worked with us. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the scripture says this: God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, through whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He says, scripture says, God has spoken in the last days. He's spoken, can we go back to verse 1, Mandy? It says, after he spoke long ago to the prophets in many portions and in many ways, which is to say that God doesn't always speak the same way, the same time, or in the same way to all of us in every experience of our lives. Now, I read one time, some time ago, I think perhaps early this spring, that in the physical world, in the natural world, we're accustomed to using our physical bodies to speak. And so my voice, my lips speak to you, your ear picks it up, and that's, it's all in the natural. That's how it's mouth to ear, so to speak. It's brain to brain. That's how we speak and how we communicate. But in the scripture teaches that God is a spirit, and those who worship him, those who communicate with him, worship him or communicate with him in the spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so my experience of seeing that scripture come off the page or driving around the end of the city, expressions to us, to me, and operations to me of the voice of God come. It didn't come to my head when we drove around the city. I didn't hear a voice saying, Ray, this is the place. It wasn't like that. It was just on the inside, a leaping that I knew was from God that affected our whole language or our whole future, our destiny. Sometimes when we speak in the natural, we use our voice. Sometimes we use body language, sometimes a sign, sometimes a tone of voice. Husbands, right? Sometimes a tone of voice, right? Sometimes a gesture. We use all those things, but in the spirit realm, it's different than them. What are some of the ways that God speaks. I have a list here I'll go through quickly for you. Number one, through the scriptures. And I just gave you an illustration from our life of how God used a scripture to absolutely confirm his direction to us. Number two, through spontaneous thoughts and impressions. Last week, we, as most of you know, Linda and I, just for fun, where's Eckhart? Just for excitement in our life, we have some revenue homes, just for some excitement. That works for us. It provides us our excitement fix. Well, what happened to us is that we presently have one or two or three or maybe four homes that are going to be open for tenancy. You want excitement, Eckhart? Let me share with you. This is excitement. And so one of the things that means is that we're going to have to do some renovations and some repairs before we get our next fix. And one of the things that means in turn is that we have to replace some flooring. Pardon me. Oh, it's snowing here. Oh, man. It's only October. And I'm thinking we have got to, this is going to cost us some cash. And, if you're in the rental home business, you'd rather not the cash be going too much that way. You'd rather it come this way. And so I'm kind of adding up this, in my mind, what we're going to need for flooring. And I'm thinking, man, this is not going to be quite as much fun as some other things I do. And all of a sudden the thought came to me, Ray, you need to check to see. And I'd gone to the stores. I got to the stores and checked out some of their flooring. And yeah, checking out the flooring, and I was floored. And so I said, man, all of a sudden the thought came to me, Ray, why don't you try and buy some used carpet? Well, that's a whale of an idea. Of course, it's very difficult in Swan River to find used carpet. So between this impression and my lightning quick mind, I decided I would go online, and I'm going on, and I'm going to Kijiji, and I'm going on this page, and this page, and this page, and this page, and whoa. I find a guy in Winnipeg. He says, I got some carpet I want to sell. My wife wanted hardwood, and so I got some carpet. I, in fact, have 1,500 square feet of carpet. Now, I got on like this. 1,500 square feet of carpet is going to cost, at a minimum, just over $4,000. Well, I thought, man. And he says, asking $250. Thank you, Jesus. I would rather pay $250 than $4,000. I believe that was God. God put it in my mind to do something that I wasn't intending to do, had no thought of doing. That's how I believe God speaks, through spontaneous thoughts and impressions. Number three, through dreams and visions. Now, some of you guys, you live in this world. I envy you. But I've never had a dream. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I've had some dreams, but I don't perceive them to be God dreams particularly. Dreams and visions. The scripture says that God spoke to Joseph in a dream saying, right? He sent an angel in a dream saying. Number four, occasionally, rarely does God speak in an audible voice. I've never, to my knowledge, met anyone or very few people that say God spoke to me in an audible voice. So there, sometimes I think it's been pretty close. I remember contradict myself. When Dave Wells, Dave and two fellow pastors went with him to a conference in Bible Temple in the spring, like May of 1987. At that time, Dave and Linda Wells pastored this church. And that's how it was going to be forever and ever. Amen. But they were coming back like at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. They had driven out of Portland. They were on their way back to Swan River. And at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning or 3, they find themselves driving through Regina. Dave's driving. The other two guys are in the back seat, sound asleep. As he's driving through the street, driving through on the highway through Regina, he hears a voice saying, "You are going to pastor Harvest City Church." He whipped around to see if these guys are talking to him, but they're both sound asleep. So sometimes God speaks very audibly, almost audibly or conceivably audibly. Number five, God speaks sometimes through another person, often a preacher or a prophet. I love hearing the word of God preached. I love hearing Cam preach because God speaks to me in that. I love hearing prophetic stuff because God speaks to me. God stirs things. Sometimes the preacher can be preaching about this and God is speaking to me about this. And somehow it just all works. God speaks. Changes our lives. A few years ago, we had Joe McCroskey come and speak to us. "Let me out!" Remember that? "Let me out! Let me out!" He's talking about the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And how when he comes into situations where he has opportunity to minister to people and somebody's in a need or whatever, he has a word and the Holy Spirit's crying in the inside of me, "Let me out! Let me out! Open your mouth! Speak, man! Speak!" And so through the preaching of the word, the ministry of the word of God, God speaks. Sometimes through just ordinary folks. I've had lots of you guys speak to me over the years. And you might have thought, about talking about potatoes for dinner or something, and God's speaking to me. All in that. He's using you to speak to me just because you're in Christ. Number six, sometimes God speaks through a specific sign that you may have asked to see. Number seven, sometimes he speaks through the circumstances of life. Sometimes God speaks through miracles and signs and wonders. God speaks in all these ways. The prophetic gifting and the prophetic calling then builds even on that, becomes more powerful yet. I was reading some time ago about Cindy Jacobs. Some of you know Cindy Jacobs. She's a lady that God has used prophetically, powerfully all over the world. But she tells a story of how she was 4 years old, 4 years old. And she was sitting on her mother's lap and said, "Mom, I would like to have a baby sister." And her mom said, "Sweetheart, ain't going to happen." "Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah." Guess what? She was right. 4 years old. She said she was still a child, like 8 or 9 years old, and sometimes before the telephone would ring, she would know who was on the phone and what the message was going to be. 9 years old. That's a prophetic gifting, brother. That's, brothers and sisters, that's at a whole nother level, but it has to do with the same reality and the same experience of us being led, being filled with the Spirit of God and hearing the voice of God, hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 5, Scripture says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature." And this is the phrase that I want you to key on for a second. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern between good and evil. That is to say, beloved, that when it comes to this business of hearing God, we can train ourselves, we can learn, we can discipline ourselves, we can grow so that we learn to hear God more accurately. One time, some time ago, I knew a gentleman who was involved with financial wheelings and dealings, and he had a gift of making money. He was a Christian brother, and he had... was held in considerable regard, and so I remember one day I somehow had some cash, and it was a significant amount of cash. I can't remember now what it was. I don't know if it was $10,000 or $5,000. I can't remember what it was, but I was saying, "God, this seems like a good idea to me." And so I bundled up this cash, put it in an envelope, stuck it in the mail. But when I stuck it in the mail, I got sick. Something on the inside, I just got sick. It's like I couldn't live with myself. And so I said, Jesus, this just doesn't feel right. So I picked up the phone, and I phoned this brother, and I said, now, I just put an envelope in the mail for you, but I would like you to rescind it. I'd like you to cancel it. I'd like you to tear it up or send it back. I want you to do something with it. And to which he said, I will do that. And so I can't remember now if he sent the letter back, if he sent the check back. I can't remember that. But the deal stopped at that moment. A little while later, everything at the other end went quiet. Everything else went downhill. Everything else showed signs that this other business venture had gone bust. And the fact that, you know, I could have done better. If I had done real well, I wouldn't have written the check in the first place. But God had mercy on me. At least once I'd written the check, God had mercy to speak to me, to so quicken to me, to catch my attention, that at least I had, by the grace of God, the wherewithal to pick up the phone and cancel the deal. That saved me thousands of dollars. Now, sometimes we're talking about saving financial stuff. Sometimes it may have to do with physical stuff. I had a situation the other day where some people we know have some physical issues. And maybe I shouldn't say that. I woke in the night and I felt I should, that there was a solution for this physical problem that these people were having. And the scripture came to my mind, and you know, I worked through whether it was God or not, and so we're kind of in limbo on it presently. But the scripture came to mind. If I asked you, remember from the life of Naaman the Syrian, if I asked you to do a hard thing, you would do a hard thing. Now, if I ask you to do a simple thing, an easy thing, can't you do a simple thing? And so I'm still working on that. You know, should I deliver that word or should I not? Do you understand what I'm saying? But sometimes it has to do with financial or material stuff or relational stuff. Sometimes an angel appears saying, Herod is dead now. You can go back, right? They're seeking your life. You better hike for Egypt. Sometimes it has to do with life or death, things like that in our lives. But it has to do, beloved, with us saying, God, will you help me train my senses so that I could hear accurately? The most powerful prophets, like I mentioned earlier, Sean Bolts, the brother hears just amazed, but it didn't happen in 2 minutes. Like he was born into it as a six-year-old child. He was already being groomed in the spirit to become a prophet. And so now these brothers and these sisters who lived at this level have the ability to affect the course of nations. They speak to kings and to presidents and to people in high places because they have developed their ability to hear God, not only for themselves, but for others. How do you know if it's God or maybe just you yourself? How do you, anybody have that thought? Maybe this is just me. How do I know it's God? Let me go through a couple of things quickly. First of all, John 10, verse 10. Scripture says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Write this down. Take a note of this one. How do I know if it's God or not? Answer, does it give life or does it give death? If it produces life in you, that is a real good sign that it's God. But if it's a downer, don't jump. Luke 1:44, behold, when the sound of your baby, or your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. How do I know if it's God or not? If it's God, something is going to start leaping on the inside of you. There's going to be a quickening, an eagerness. Yes, 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 yes. Years ago, you've heard me say over the last years of time that every time the Holy Spirit begins to move in your heart or in your life, something will start to leap in. That's how you can know it's the Holy Spirit, when there's a leaping in your baby, so to speak. A leaping for joy in life. The third scripture is from Romans chapter 14. The kingdom of God is not eat or drink, but righteousness, peace, or joy. How do I know if it's me or if it's God? If it's God, there will be a sense of righteousness. There'll be a sense of peace. There'll be a sense of joy on the inside of you. If it's not righteousness or peace or joy, if you don't have the witness of the Spirit of God, then you need to be careful. I read a while ago the story of Andrew Womack. Some of you know Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack, a number of years ago, had been invited to go to minister to a church and to a community in Costa Rica. And at first he figured that would be probably a pretty good deal. And so he agreed to do that. They set the wheels in motion. He even bought tickets for his flight. But as time went on, he began to feel more and more uneasy about going to Costa Rica. And so much so that he just lost all his desire. The more he prayed about it, the more he was preparing himself to go, he just lost all desire to go to fulfill that ministry commitment. So finally what happened is he decided he was going to phone that church and tell them, sorry, I can't come. And if and when they asked him, why can't you come? His response basically was, I just don't want to. It didn't sound like a real cool response, but that's all he had to say. And so he canceled out his engagement with that church. What happened, however, is that the plane took off from Mexico, but that's as far as it got. That plane for which he had held tickets in his hand crashed, 169, I think, people, all killed. Had he not listened, had he pushed through, had he said, I'm going to do it anyway, And so sometimes, beloved, it's life or death. How about sometimes people say, God doesn't speak to me. Man, God doesn't speak to me. God speaks to everybody else, but God doesn't speak to me. I got a couple responses for you here, just quickly. Number one. No, not number one. This is a prelude. Well, some of the brothers say it's like this. I think it's well said. If I have here a radio, this is radio. I can have this radio, and I say, do you hear all the radio? Do you hear the radio? And you say, I don't hear the radio. Well, how come? Because it ain't plugged in. It ain't turned on. It ain't tuned to the right station. In fact, it's in between stations. Some of you guys remember how radios used to be, right? Right? Now you go click, 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 click. And it used to always be like I used to be. And then you kind of get into it like that. You had to get into the frequency and you had to tune to get the right frequency. And so in the kingdom of God, beloved, sometimes our lives are so full and sometimes we don't have the transmitter, we don't have the receiver on. Sometimes our heads are so full with distraction that we can't hear even if God would speak. What, how come sometimes we feel like God isn't speaking to us? Some of you guys here have said this, God doesn't speak to me. Strike that from the record. Number one, he might be trying to speak, but your life might be just too cluttered, too much noise, too much distraction to hear him. Sometimes we just need to turn everything else off and just sit and soak and listen, wait on the Lord. Number two, he might have already spoken, but you didn't realize that it was God. You thought it was just yourself. He might have already been speaking to you. Number three, he may have already spoken, but you didn't respond to what he said. You didn't obey what he told you to do last time. So now he's not going to speak anymore until you go back and deal with what he ever spoken to you. Somebody said, doers of the word hear more from God than just hearers. You need to be not only a hearer, but a doer. Number four, he might not be speaking because you're not ready to hear what he has to say. John chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So maybe some other things have to be set in order before God can speak. And then lastly, he might not speak to you about every single decision that you ever would make in your life. Some things he'll just let you decide. What color socks you're going to put on. He'll let you decide. You don't need to hear from God about what color socks to wear every day. Okay, how about we conclude with this? Helps to hear the voice of the Lord. And again, in Hebrews 5, the scripture says that we can grow in grace. We can grow in our ability to hear and discern what God is speaking, what the voice of God is to us. What are some helps that might help us? Number one, ask God to speak to you. Ask him to speak. Tune your heart to hear. Number two, stir up the desire to hear God. Give him your time and attention. Someone said, we need to be not just, We need not just to be have fellowship, we also need to have followership. We need to, the things that we need to hear, God wants us to follow through on. Give him your time and attention. Number three, prepare your heart to do what he says to do. So that he knows that you're willing and ready to do what he's telling you to do. Number four, be open to how God wants to speak. Be open to how God wants to speak. The prophet found out that God can even sometimes speak through a donkey. I've had people that I wouldn't really consider my friends, sometimes people that might even be my enemies. God sometimes has spoken to me through people that I could consider my enemies. Number five, last one, change your confession. Scripture says, Jesus said five times actually in John chapter 10, basically like this, my sheep hear my voice. It says, my sheep hear my voice. Not that they will hear my voice, or they might hear my voice, or they used to hear my voice, or one day it might happen that they... Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Repeat after me. I am a sheep, and I hear the voice of the shepherd. I am a sheep, and I do hear the voice of the shepherd. Begin to say, I am a child of God. And the scripture says, I hear the voice of God. I hear the voice of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. I spoke to the church a few weeks ago in Dauphin. Had a quiz for them. I don't think I gave you guys the quiz yet. The quiz was about God's phone number. Did I ask you guys the quiz? Do you guys know about the quiz for God's phone number? God's phone number. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call upon me, and I will answer you. I will speak to you. Call upon me, I will answer you. Father in heaven, I pray this morning for this congregation, for these dear ones. Father, sometimes we get so caught up with all the stuff of life. Sometimes we find ourselves in crisis. Sometimes we find ourselves facing impossible circumstances. Sometimes we don't know where to go or where to turn. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we feel all alone. Sometimes we feel, God, like you're not speaking. But Father, this morning we rejoice that you would remind us again that as your sheep, we hear your voice. And so Father, in these areas that we talk about, we pray for grace, 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 that we might be found seeking you earnestly, calling upon you earnestly and passionately. Father, that we might more and more find ourselves saying, the Lord said, God said to me, the Spirit of the Lord moved, an angel came, or whatever. Father, that we might be found saying more and more, the Lord is directing my life. I am hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. So Father, I pray for this congregation today. Father, for everyone in this place. Father, we don't know what all the future holds. But Father, we're persuaded that the more we hear from heaven, the richer our lives become. The more we have, Father, the more we understand that the more we hear from heaven, the more we have to give to men. The more we hear from God, the more we have to give to men. So, Father, I pray even this day a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit upon each of us in this place, that our eyes might be open, that our ears might be open, that we might begin to hear and to see, to experience that leaping, that quickening, the witness of the Holy Spirit, that we are experiencing impartations that are intended not only for our well-being, but for the well-being and the blessing of those in the circles into which you would lead us. So, Father, we pray the quickening of your Holy Spirit even in this respect, that we might find ourselves growing and maturing, able to minister grace to one another because we would hear ourselves the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you to that end this morning in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all go.